Okay, welcome everybody. I think just quickly on the operating environment, I think most of you will be very familiar with it. I think in this particular year, we were faced with reasonable equity markets. In fact, all the indices that affect us really were up in the particular period, but fairly volatile. With a strong run-up in the second half of the year, but the last quarter very volatile. We also had volatile exchange rates, but funny enough, some of the key exchange rates ended up the year where they started, even though they went all over the show. And one of our exchange rates was very strong against sterling. Interest rates around the world were relatively flat. South Africa down a bit, Aussie up a bit, and the UK flat. So fairly stable environment in which to operate with a little bit of volatility here and there. I think if you step back and look at what we've done over the past year, I think it was a year in which there has been a lot of reshaping to our business, some of which started back a number of years back. I think we did have strong operational performance from 5 out of our 6 core divisions, and with overall results constrained by the slow recovery of non-performing loans. So overall, we think that these are very satisfactory set of results, and I'll go into detail in the course of the discussion. I think what we did in the past year was we clearly positioned the group as a specialist bank and asset manager. I think there was a time when people were confused as to what we were. I think we did focus on realigning our business model by building our non-banking revenue streams. That did start some years back. And that we continued globalizing our asset management business. I think they were the first part of our group that started globalizing at least 7 years back, and we've seen the strong benefits of that. And we started globalizing our wealth and investment business, firstly through the acquisition of the balance of Rensburg Shepherd that we did not own, and secondly in the consolidation of the wealth business in the private bank into a single wealth business in Rensburg and Investec Securities, and now there's moves to globalize that business. And we continue to maintain high levels of liquidity and capital in response to a fluid banking environment. And when we talk about fluid, we really mean what's going on the regulatory front and the expectations from all sorts of stakeholders. So we've remained relatively conservative on that particular front. We believe that for 2012 we've laid foundations for growth as a firm. I think if I just step back, we did concentrate over the last while of realigning the business model. We've shown you this picture before where we try and improve our capital light and fiduciary businesses and our advisory businesses as banking has become a much more capital intensive business and a lower return business to actually run. And I think that we have made good progress on that. If you have a look at this particular graph, you can see that net of impairments, and we do believe that impairments will come down next year, but net of impairments, you've seen that our third-party asset management, advisory businesses, and wealth management businesses match the operating profit that we generate from our risk-taking businesses. Now, we were in that position back in 2005, but clearly that's the position that we're in now, we're quite happy with that particular outcome. As we've mentioned in the results update, 39% of our operating profit in this year came from asset management and wealth management. And that's clearly depicted in this graph from 25% last year to 38.6%. And that's quite a big shift in the mix of revenue if you go back a number of years. I think the specialist bank was impacted by an increase in impairments and defaults, and that is as a consequence of a slow improvement in the level of non-performing loans as economies move along at slow motion and take a lot longer for us to clear problem loans. So we have had that uptick, which we told you about as a trading update. It's a bit higher than we thought at that time, 1.27% as opposed to 1.2, but more or less in line with what we felt. I think if you look at it by geography, you can see the UK came down by 19%. Ireland went up by 97%, and I guess Ireland actually blew up early end of November, early December as an economy and had to call for IMF assistance, as everyone knows. South Africa up in pounds, down in rand, marginally. And then Australia down marginally in Aussie dollars, up in sterling because of exchange rate effect. So overall, that is the picture, and we believe that that picture will improve quite a lot in the forthcoming year. I think if we look at how this picture has evolved over the last 5 years, you can see that we had very low levels of defaults going into 2007. In fact, I think we went probably 10, 12 years in the UK without a bad debt. And that it started off in the capital markets business, where we had a sharp rise in problems as a consequence of the crisis. And you can see that that really has come off quite significantly. In fact, in South Africa, we had a net recovery in capital markets. In the private bank, we were affected. Obviously, it comes at you a lot slower because you're dealing with individuals and you're dealing with high net worth individuals, not the average consumer. And they fight to keep their assets and they fight to try and stay alive. But at the end of the day, some of them tripped up, and that's really what we would have experienced here. So overall, if you take the whole picture, we ended up with a stable performance with operating profit up 0.5% and before tax and impairment losses up 4.7% and attributable earnings up 5.9%. Adjusted EPS down 4.2% as a consequence of more shares in issue, which Yikes already shouted at us about. And we decided that, I don't know if Louis is in South Africa, but we give him a bit of ex-dividend in case he's still got some Investec shares. So we upped the dividend by 6.3%. Net tangible asset per share up 6.1%, shareholders' equity strongly up at 20%, and that obviously is the acquisition of Rensburg plus that capital raising we did back in September that you all shouted about, and we really believed it was important to strengthen our balance sheet to give us capability going forward. And you can see that loans and advances starting to rise, but you know, not going anywhere rapidly at this point in time. And I think the earnings were supported by strong growth in our core earnings drivers. If you look at assets under management, up at £89 billion, and customer accounts, which is deposits, up at up by 11% to £24 million, and loans and advances, as I said, you're up by a moderate 4%. So overall, you know, we've improved our position for future generation of revenue. We are happy with our capital and liquidity position. I think you can see that both in Investec PLC and Investec Limited, the numbers improved slightly over last year, including the Tier 1 in PLC went up by 0.3%. The Tier 1 in Limited went down by 0.2%. The reason for that really is the fact that they upped the kind of capital we have to hold for equities by fourfold, and we were able to absorb that in a single year. And that's a regulator up the capital we're required to hold for equities as a firm. Picking up a little bit of Dodd-Frank. And then Australia down, as I've seen some growth in loans and advances, in particular in our professional lending space, which has been a very robust business that we're actually building scale in. I think if we look at our financial targets, we still haven't revised our ROE target, but we will say that it will come down from the target that is, we currently have. If you, with the additional capital requirements that are, have been imposed by regulators or are about to be imposed by regulators in 2013, plus all the other talk of minimum quartile ones and those kinds of things, clearly, you know, a target of 20% in our opinion for a business that is mixed between the developed and the developing world is not achievable, and we have to relook at that number, especially if interest rates remain very low. So we are obviously way behind on ROE at this point in time, but we will start seeing growth in ROE as the business regains momentum. Earnings per share, this was not a, we went backwards, so obviously we didn't meet our growth target there. Our cost to income ratio is still within our growth target, I mean our target range of 65%. We never adjusted that downwards, even though we were operating quite a lot lower than that, because when you build non-banking revenue businesses, they are much higher cost businesses and higher operating leverage, but much lower financial leverage, and therefore we recognize that in leaving that target. Dividend cover, we've dropped it from the peak of the crisis when we went up to 3.3 and moved towards the middle of our range. And we think that's probably where we will more or less live in life. And then, as I mentioned, capital adequacy grew and was well within our range in this period. If we look at divisional performance. I think, again, here you can see that five out of six divisions grew particularly strongly. The lowest was actually, out of those five, was capital markets, up 35%, and that was a pretty good result in itself. But you can see asset management up 52%, wealth and investment up 56%. Part of that is acquisition of Rensburg, but if you strip that out, it's still up about 40%. Property had a very good year, and private banking obviously was affected by the rising impairments in that particular business. And investment banking up 62%. So overall, strong divisional performance. Moving on to Investec Asset Management, I think that here, if you look at the performance, there's very strong growth in operating profit, supported by strong growth in funds under management. I think people ask how come, and we say that, you know, there has been good investment performance in this business over many, many years, and that has always been their priority. Priority is to perform well for their clients. They saw strong inflows of £7.4 billion, and if we went back 2 years, this business was managing £28 billion, and today it's managing £59 billion, and that's not all from market uplift. Fair amount of that and is up from new inflows, which means that they're well recognized out in the marketplace. We also have one of the most experienced and stable teams in the industry, who have had many, many years of investment management experience, and we still continue to build those capabilities as we intend to continue to grow this business. This business has primarily been grown organically. I think we bought Guinness Flight in 1998. And that was the last time when we had any kind of material acquisition in this business. In South Africa, it's been grown totally organically. So you can see, as a consequence, exceptionally high ROE on tangible, and even a very high ROE on what we've paid for our businesses historically, and a very decent cost-to-income ratio for this type of business. I think from an outlook point of view, the long-term strategy remains unchanged. They're committed to managing clients' money to the highest possible standards. They have a very well-established globalized footprint with seven distinct and scalable investment capabilities, so there is capacity to manage a lot more money. We have set up distribution all around the world. We manufacture our products only in two centers, that's Cape Town and London, and therefore we don't have a whole lot of low-scale businesses, and at the moment business and earnings momentum are positive, and they continue to reinforce themselves as an independent pure-play asset manager. Obviously, everyone will know by now that it's very separate from the bank. I think part of our historic success has been that we've kept this business very separate from the bank. The banking side of the business has never tried to say to the asset management business where to invest and how to invest, and we learnt a bitter lesson historically from two shareholders that we had who used to interfere in the asset management business, and they ended up not being around. So we learnt lessons from others, and we applied them very diligently in this business. I think our wealth and investment business is a unit that was created over the last year because we had pieces all over the show. I think has now been integrated. The year was spent on ensuring that this integration works, but also, you know, delivered, as I said earlier, strong operational performance. Funds under management up about 14%, and you can see South African funds under management up 18.6%. Cost income ratio high at the moment, and I'll explain that in a second. And ROE, obviously, because the Rensburg acquisition drops down, some of that's just funny accounting because they made us have this funny gain from an accounting point of view. But if you look at the return on tangible, also, you know, at a very acceptable type of level, and ROE will build up over time back to a very decent level, recognizing the acquisition. So a lot of focus was spent on, you know, integrating the private bank into the wealth management business, both in South Africa and the UK. I think there have been a lot of costs in this particular period, which we don't think would be repeated. That was increased personnel costs resulting from the merger, higher IT costs, and we also had in South Africa lower earnings on deal-driven type activity, including asset swaps. As people probably, you normally get a lot of asset swaps when people think the rand is going to weaken. So I think clearly this business does is affected by equity markets, and you know, in the UK we intend to grow the business organically at this stage by 5%. But given time, hopefully we'll wind them up to a faster number. It is a slow growth business. It's difficult to pull in new funds, but we believe that we will be able to do that. We in Rensburg are adopting the Investec brand in June 2011, and they will launch that shortly because we're not too far from June. And South Africa, again, also dependent on equity markets and levels of activity. We do expect slower cost growth, and we believe that the new merged business will be well positioned to leverage off a streamlined cost and operational base. So, again, outlook we think fairly positive. We get to our property business. I think this business had a very good year, up 42%, driven by good performance in both South Africa and Australia. I think in South Africa we also culminated the year, it was just off the end, with a listing of a new property fund. For those of you will remember that we built the largest property fund in South Africa called Growthpoint over about 25 years, and we sold that, sold our management company in that some years back, and now we think that it's important for us to rebuild that type of fund, and so we started out the other day. And then Australia did raise a new fund and also benefited from some opportunities in the distressed property environment, which turned out quite well. So I think in the South African business there is a substantial pipeline of development and redevelopment projects, good reception to the launch of our new property fund, and we see ourselves building funds under management alongside the trading capability that we have. I think Australia, there are opportunities on the ground there. The UK, we're still, you know, very small, so I'm not mentioning it too much, and we do see that we will pick up some opportunities in the Australian market over the next year. I think we move to private banking. I think what's important here is firstly that we did manage to maintain our revenues during a difficult period. They were up 2.3%. However, unfortunately, operating profit was severely affected by the additional impairments that were made during this particular period. I think there's still lowish levels of activity. While economies are weak, it's still difficult, as I said earlier, to deal with impairment problems. But we therefore did take a view to increase the levels of impairments as we have seen this prolonged weak economic environment. And there also lack of exits on opportunities. So this business is in recovery phase. There's no fundamental damage to it. Some of these issues are actually come from decisions made 4 or 5 years ago, and we have been in a process of reshaping. We've had moderate growth in our loan book of 3%, and I would say also moderate growth in our deposit book, but that is deliberate because we are diversifying our deposit base as opposed to driving some of the products that attracted a lot of income. I think if we look at the private bank in the UK, we've taken a number of steps to strengthen the business. A lot of reorganisation has taken place over the last while. I think activity levels are starting to come back as clients get back on their feet, and that there are initiatives to underpin growth, which are launching transactional banking and card and current account platforms, and those are things that will take place over the next while. I think in South Africa we're starting to see again uplift in deal flow. Clients are starting to borrow a bit again, and we have taken a decision, and I'll talk about it in a moment, to specialize, to realign some of what we do and how we do it and the reporting structures. And then in Australia we closed down the one business, the property lending business. We still will lend money to high net worth clients who want to fund properties, but we don't want to do property development work at all. Our professional lending book business called Experian continued to grow and is again, you know, well positioned and gaining good momentum, and we're about to launch our transactional banking initiative into that professional market. So we do recognize that we did get caught in the final phases of the bull market and had to rethink some of what we did in this business. those entrepreneurial clients that took on too much leverage got badly caught out by the crisis, and I think that we, as alongside them, have suffered as a consequence. We have reviewed all our risk appetite philosophies and tightened our focus on our target clients to ensure a greater degree of resilience to cycles without inhibiting what is a fairly entrepreneurial business. So we feel fairly comfortable with where we are right now, and we look for a good turnaround in this business in the next financial year. I think the investment bank also had overall a good result with mixed performance across geographies. I think operating profit was up 38%. Pre-consolidated investments, if you up 62% after consolidated investments, these consolidated investments are now mostly gone. So we won't see this kind of write-off coming for in the future. So that is also gives an opportunity for a bit of a turnaround. The cost-to-income ratio is 59%, which is fairly stable, and our ROE, if I give it to pre-consolidated investments, was up. Post-consolidated investments was down. It was also both of them were up at one just above 20, the other just below 20. I think we had very good results from our principal investment activity, both in South Africa and Hong Kong, which is off the UK balance sheet, and we've got a very good niche there that has worked out very well for us. It's in the pre-IPO space, and the agency and advisory businesses across all three geographies benefited from a good deal pipeline and better flows, but institutional stockbroking is really an area that's battling at the moment, and we see that with all banks. There has been low levels of activity and a lot of poaching and a lot of issues around retention of staff, which has affected us as much as other people. So clearly this is an equity-based business, so the outlook is driven by what's going on in equity markets. I think we are seeing activity levels rise in South Africa, and there is a fair amount of corporate activity taking place. I think our brand is well established in the UK, and I think we're well positioned to take advantage of any increased secondary fundraisings and capital raisings. In Australia, we've rebooted the business and rebuilt the team to focus at the top end of the mid-market, and we hope that that strategy works. We are seeing some traction, but it's still not profitable at this point in time. And then we made a small acquisition in Hong Kong to give us the capability of bridging China to the UK and to South Africa, and to help us capture deal flow in that particular space. And we established an advisory platform in India, again looking for opportunities between India and Africa in particular, and a bit Australia. If we move on to capital markets, I think that produced a particularly strong performance, 35% up on last year. You can see some growth in the loan book, 7.2%. That was more UK growth. In South Africa, we're not seeing any corporate borrowing. In fact, the book went down in Rand. And I think, again, corporates are very flush and are still not investing in that part of the world. Cost-to-income ratio up marginally at 49%, and ROE at just under 20%, which is an improvement on last year. So we have seen good levels of activity across the advising and structuring businesses. Good performance from our principal finance and structured equity businesses. And we also saw a significant decline in the levels of impairments in this business. So if we look at the outlook, South Africa is a very clean portfolio. I think our impairments are 0.2% of our book, and believe very neat and tidy and well positioned to recover, to improve from South African recovery. It's a bit slow in coming because I think the economy grew at 2.8% last year, expected to go at 3.8% this year. It's still slow for a developing market, but hopefully it will start gathering momentum. I think in the UK we continue to build a balanced business model where we can benefit from both primary and secondary market activity, and we believe that we're well positioned to grow in this business from our current levels. Australia also is a fairly good story in this business, and we have been investing in this business for the long term. We've set up several new business initiatives in the past year, and we have invested heavily as a group in building our capability and remaining well positioned as we expect at a point in time economies to start improving. Looking at our group services, Our trade finance business grew 26%. That's just the South African business. Our central funding was down 7%. We had some weaker performance from our equities in that particular pool and lower return on our free cash. And then we had our costs went up by 35%, and that would relate to additional marketing spend plus some increase in personnel costs as we continue to try and build our global infrastructure. I think our tax rate, as we mentioned, the trading update would be down. And the reason is that we have resolved matters mainly in South Africa for which we had a provision which is no longer required. This tax rate should track back to the 20% type level as we move forward into the next year. I mean, this was more a one-off situation. Shares in issue up as a consequence of the Rensburg acquisition and the issue of shares we did recently. Moderate goodwill impairment relates to asset management businesses that were acquired, very small ones in the early 90s, and then, I mean late 90s, and then we had this loss on sale of subsidiaries, which is again in the sale of Rensburg Fund Management, which we sold for £45 million, and a loss in the sale of the other consolidated subsidiaries. So we also had a loss attributable to minority interests, which is partly as a consequence of some investments held in the private equity unit, and the rest is smaller translation gain or two. I think if we look at costs, you know, our revenue is up 18%, but our costs were up 26%. That comes from a number of different sources. Currency adjustments were £57 million, the acquisitions were £77 million, and variable remuneration £53 million, and that's as a consequence of some of our divisions doing particularly well. And, you know, it does come through in that particular line. Staff costs overall up £52 million, excluding variable remuneration and marketing. You know, we spent a bit of money on building our brand, which I think has done us quite well. So overall, if you stripped out variable remuneration, normalised costs were up 4.8%, and if you include variable remuneration, which is a cost but it is variable, overall costs were up 10%. We can see that our jaws ratio still looks pretty good. We've grown income by 13.6% since 2002 when we listed in London, and we've grown expenses by 12.2% during that same period, and that has quite a big impact on the crocodile. I think strategically, we have looked at realigning the specialist banking side of our business, and I think our core strategic focus remains to facilitate the creation of wealth and the management of wealth as a firm. I think we very clearly, as I've mentioned, positioned the group as a specialist bank and asset manager, and you can see which businesses fall into what box, and this is really a depiction of you know, what we look like as a firm. I think we did globalize the asset management business, as I mentioned. You know, we have seven core capabilities with distribution right around the world, and that's something that we continue to do and have been doing for the past 7 years. We're in the phase of globalizing the wealth and investment business, and I think that, again, that we believe will certainly enhance that business. Our core focus now is on creating a single specialist bank. This is more a mindset issue. We've historically had a mindset of having two banks within our group, which is a private bank and capital markets business. And what we've been doing over the last while is getting shifting that mindset into a single specialist bank mindset so that we can meet client demand and improve our offering to our clients. So we believe that it's an internal structure and it's more appropriate for us to maximize the product offering to our client. We still will have branding like the private bank, or call it rather private banking, and we are able to better share competencies within the organization to achieve greater operational synergy and further to create synergies and connectivity across our group and greater leverage of our global capabilities. It will take time to implement, and it does mean some reorganization internally, and we will be able to give more details of that at the investor briefing in September. If we get to outlook, I think I got this email from our first chairman. Now, I'll read it out to you quickly. It came yesterday, funny enough, so I thought, you know, we'd put in a slide. I mean, one of the big opportunities for us as a group is to catch opportunities in Africa, which is seen as a strong growing economy, and it's something that we are attempting to do as a firm. So he wrote to me, his name is Michael Lewis, we are so interested to see that you've opened up in Luanda, Angola. Are you going to issue units for the building in your property portfolio? And you can see this picture of this sort of like shack with Investec, and I find it's in Portuguese, I can't really understand if it says investments or technology. There was a time when we called ourselves Investec Investments and Technology in the very early days of our existence back in 1980. And I think this was the guy who was then chairman of our firm, and he sent me this nice picture yesterday. So I think it does depict that there are a lot of opportunities for us in Africa, maybe not in the property space. I think we have continued to focus on our clients and the brand, and I think someone was saying to me yesterday, every time you sponsor something, you guys are very lucky. Or the firm you sponsor or the sport you sponsor is lucky. Now, in the Derby, we understand that the Queen's Horse is the favourite this year. Tottenham obviously got through, and I'm very sad that we didn't make it to Champions League next year because I'm a Tottenham supporter, but got through to a quarter final, which with Real Madrid, I don't think we would have ever dreamed of that. We also, for those of you that know, sponsored Charles Twartle, who won the Masters. And there's him with his Investec bag. For those of you who look hard enough, you'll see our zebra, and Charles with his green jacket. And we also sponsor South African women's hockey and Super Rugby in New Zealand, and our boat. I think it's Sydney to Hobart race came second, and there was a story about the guys who came first being disqualified, but they never got disqualified. Anyway, I think whoever we sponsor ends up being lucky. So we have done a lot in terms of building our brand, and I think we've made a lot of progress on that front, certainly over the last few years, because we didn't get scared when we hit the crisis. We carried on spending money and we captured a lot of opportunities. I think we continue to remain focused and competitive as an organization. You can look at many of our business units win a lot of awards for what they do. I know most banks can put this up there and say that they win awards, but I think we do win a lot of awards for good product creation, for good fund management, over long, for strong positioning in our M&A capability over long periods of time. I think we are seeing good momentum in the business. Obviously, we hostage to how economies do, and there has been a lot of noise in the system over the last 4 months. I mean, they don't have to go through that process again. But we do see our asset management business growing. We do see our wealth and investment business growing. We see our property activities being stable but down from a high base. I think they had a very good year this year, which is not repeatable in our opinion. We challenge Sam to do that again. Our private bank is a recovery story, and we see our investment banking and our capital markets business growing. So overall, we believe that it's reasonable momentum in our business. I think at the end of the day, we've been through, as a banking specialist bank and asset manager, a fairly tough 4 years with the world nearly falling over. I think there's still a lot of regulatory uncertainties out there. We will still continue to manage our balance sheet very carefully, and but we do expect earnings momentum to improve, and we do expect to see a normalization of impairment losses. I think our alignment of our business model puts us in a fairly good position, and we believe that that strategy is paying off, and that we also taking advantages of dislocation in the markets to extend our brand awareness and improve our talent, because obviously our kind of business needs good talent. So that's our story. Overall, we're quite happy with where we are, and I think we look forward to seeing you guys in not too distant future. So we're now in question time. We'll go to South Africa. I don't know if we can see the guys in South Africa, because they said there was something wrong with the camera or something, but maybe they're up there. We can see you. Andy? Any questions?
We're just going to see
who wants to ask questions.
Is Louis there?
Lots of bright.
He gave up on us. He started buying coronation ships.
Lots of bright. I can't see him, Steve.
He's not owning up. Okay, he's not there. Yeah.
Andy, it's
who's that?
Steve, just a Steve, just a question on the.
Are you at Standard Bank yet?
Yeah. Stephen, just a question on the Irish book. How much remaining exposure is there left now that you wrote off nearly 100 million this year?
And we had 180 odd million pounds. You get the exact number from Ursula of defaults. We've written off, I think, about 120. Huh? No, that the other's not performing either. Yeah.
Okay, there's a question up here.
280 in total, but we've, of that 280, 100 is not in default. And of the 189 odd, we've written off, I think, about 120.
Is there any chance of falling out of the FTSE, the company?
Is there any chance of falling out of the FTSE, the company?
I think there's always a chance because we're at the bottom end of the FTSE and you've got Glencore listed listing next week and they go straight in and someone drops out. But there are a few of us in the race, so there's a fair chance. Who knows? Depends on who the punters want to back. You guys must say who's asking the question, because we can't check you from here. Who's that, Ronnie?
It's Stefan here from UBS with another question. Just on the ring fencing in the UK, potentially of the retail banking operations, how do you view that in terms of the impact on your business? Would it cause any significant problems for you?
We don't think significant problems. We think it can have a moderate impact and that, you know, some of the activities that we conduct may fall into the wholesale bank. A lot of what we do does fall into the retail bank. And then those that fall into the wholesale bank, you know, some of them are not capital intensive businesses, so for us anyway, like investment banking. But we do believe it can have some moderate impact, but I don't think significant impact. But, you know, it's still early days on how that thing is going to pan out.
Okay, are there any more questions here? Stephen, that looks like that's it from here.
Where's Ruby? No one there.
They heard you were away, Stephen.
Yeah, in London?
Good morning, it's James Hamilton. Here is a couple if I may. Firstly, you talk about realigning the private bank. Do you expect to shed a significant number of assets as part of that process? And looking to the wealth management division, can you quantify the extent of the one-off costs that you took in the last year?
You're going to have to find Ursula on one-off costs. I don't know the exact number of one-off costs. But on the private bank, we're not shedding any of the book. We've got a book to collect. Which will take us a couple of years to work our way through, and you know, 95% of that book is fine. In fact, the hits came from a small number of clients. So you know, we're quite happy with our basic business, but we have some stuff that, as we said to you, you know, if you came to us 10 years ago, we wouldn't have done it, and if you came to us now, we wouldn't do it. But we just got caught up at the back end of the bull market thinking life had changed, which it hadn't. So mainly in the land and the planning area, we've got to collect that book. But the basic business is fine, it's good.
Hi, it's Will Howlett at Macquarie. I just had a quick question on the split of the profitability of the group. I mean, do you see asset and wealth management continuing to increase, or do you think that will be offset by recovery in some of the more transactional features of the business?
Yeah, it probably will drop back to a third when you see a turnaround in the private bank. But we were only expecting about 30% to get up to 30% now, not 39, when we thought about the strategy. So, and then hopefully, you know, it will be seasonal thereafter.
Morning, Simon Willis from Daniel Stewart. Can I ask, could you give us a bit of colour on your view of the opportunity for growing the capital markets loan book, given the current environment, where a lot of the former big players, including the UK banks, are somewhat limited in their scope to grow in that area now, and for well-capitalised banks such as yourselves, there's an opportunity to grow at what are attractive margins relative to the recent past.
I think you did see growth in that book during this particular year. That's one part of the capital markets business where we saw growth, which was capital markets in the UK. As you point out, there are a lot of opportunities in that space. We've got a well-diversified business. We have the leasing businesses. We have the structured finance businesses, the project finance businesses, and the acquisition finance businesses. And obviously, we don't want to just grow a book for the sake of growing book. We also originate and distribute, and we did a securitization last year. We'll look to do more of those as those markets come back. And you know, we hold a certain amount of book, but we also want to trade in books. We don't want to just build up book, but we want to service a particular client segment, which we are doing quite comfortably, and there is an opportunity to grow there.
And just as a rider, can I ask where these geographically where you see the growth opportunities lying? You talked about bridging, making steps to bridge gaps between Hong Kong to China, and perhaps back to the UK and Europe, and also India, to South Africa and Australia.
Yeah, I think that's an opportunity for us as a firm. I mean, obviously a lot of players are in that space, but we have a very strong positioning in Africa and a decent franchise in Australia. And there's a lot of interest in the commodity, in buying physical commodity businesses or mines or those kinds of things. And we needed to place ourselves in those two markets to be able to capture the flow and be able to advise those clients and build a franchise. So we do see quite a lot of opportunity in that particular area. Obviously, we're not running out to lend money in that part of the world. I think our money lending will stay very close to home. I think the other thing we've learned through the price, when you go a bit far from where your core is, you get a hiding, because you get, you've got to watch being lender of last resort, and you don't know the people. So I think some of our problem loans came from being a bit far away from our core, and we were always nervous to lend away from our core. So it will be more transactional type business that we will build in that space.
Thank you.
More questions, yeah? Any other questions anyway? Don't take on the phone. Can't see the outcome, don't take. More questions? Right. Thank you very much for attending, and I'm sure any questions you have that have not been answered that you don't want to ask, you can phone our investor relations people, or ask any one of my colleagues here who are all in South Africa. Thank you very much. Cheers.